Braden Sprennett back at it on another high school football podcast. We are breaking down the Eastern League in the city section. We are now joined by the Mira Mesa head coach, Chris Thompson, in his second year as a head coach for Mira Mesa, a longtime coach at Mira Mesa, of course. Coach Thompson, I'm asking everybody right now about how everybody's camp's going so far, how the Marauders looking.
We're young and just trying to learn every day.
You got a lot of young guys. I know you got a middle linebacker that's pretty ferocious in there as well. But can you talk about some of the kids that are going to be a huge help for the Marauders this season?
Yeah, well, we only bring back 16 seniors, and actually 11 from last year. I kind of went out and recruited five more from the campus. But the big three that we're kind of expecting a lot out of are Five-Eye Leamidi, who you just referred to, as our linebacker. He'll help us, with some fullback, big back type stuff, and H-back wing tight end type thing. One top guys in the county that nobody knows about, only because this time last year is when he got here from Samoa, and he had to sit out. So, he's a legitimate, big time player. I know a few of the Mountain West schools are watching, and hopefully we'll get an offer here on him, but. Leo's kind of the centerpiece, and Elijah Thomas will slide over. He certainly could have been our running back last year, but we had some pretty good guys back there. A quarterback that ran for 1,000, and JaVale Brown and Lynch that kind of took those reps. And so I told him you have to wait a year, but he's really been impressive in practice. He just picked up an offer from BYU. He could be, and obviously the focal point of what we're going to do, it will be a little more. Let's just say Greg Bell, like when we were at Benita. So he'll pound the rock, and then he's going to slide over there and play some defense. And then Ethan Nelson, who's our big returning all league offensive lineman. And he's going to help us on the O-line and the D-line. So everything kind of revolves around those three. And we just kind of been over in our own little corner of the world. Didn't do any summer passing league stuff only because we were so young. We're just trying to learn and build the foundation here. Like I said, we got 17 juniors, got 16 sophomores and two freshmen. So the future is now. We're playing for these seniors. We're excited. Team GPA at the end of the school year was 3.1. So that speaks volumes. I think that, they're doing what we want them to do in the classroom, and we're excited about this group. We think the foundation is set from last year, and we got big expectations to compete again in Division II.
You're a Mira Mesa guy, and you're taking over the program that you used to coach, before. How has the rebuild process kind of been with you guys in the first year making things your own and making it your own program and getting it back to where you want Mira Mesa to be? How's it been so far in the first year and about a half so far?
First of all, I believe we're ahead of schedule. I was kind of telling that to my coaches the other day that the reality of a lot of these things that are my own, they were my own before I left, and they're certainly still my own as I've come back. I think that was a little bit of the issue. There were just things that are in place, but they just weren't kind of doing them anymore, or they weren't, kind of approaching it with the same focus. And so really we've just dusted off a bunch of this stuff, and it's really come back quickly because, again, the program has been rooted in, discipline and accountability. And, the kids have been great so far about that. And, it's a completely different team. I love my seniors from last year that graduated. But that was one of the things, we had to really get back in and reestablish the discipline part. And it wasn't, that they were bad kids. They were really good kids, but they could be silly sometimes. And, we had to get that focus back in place because, really had a lot of, had a lot of comedians, man. and while it was fun on an individual level, JaVale Brown and Marcus Dean and Noah Tumlin, they're great, great people. Our one-on-one relationship interaction, they would make me laugh every day, but when we get on the field and, they, one little thing could just just take us over the top, and we'd have to work all practice to get back on track. This group is more focused that way. And again, only because we've got so many young kids up that, that was the establishment, with my JV and freshman last year. So, completely different, vibe. But I'll tell you this much, this young group that we have, these sophomores, these freshmen, we're gonna probably start two freshmen here this week. They're as talented as the group that just left. So when we get, that weight room work done and, we get our reps and we build that experience, I'm really excited about this crew.
Well, you guys were in a CIF championship a year ago, in Division II this year. I know you're in the Eastern League, but the goals are always set to be in the highest league. I know for Mira Mesa, get back to the days where making the Holy Bowl, the battle for second place, like you told me a year ago. Let's get to the schedule for Mira Mesa. You guys open up at Grossmont. That's a tough game. At San Marcos, Mount Carmel, Scripps Ranch, at Steel Canyon. You got a nice little non-league schedule there. Talk to us a little bit about how you guys put a schedule together, because I know you're one of the teams that's not afraid to play anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my personal deal there. I kind of got that from Randy Blankenship years ago when he came into Fallbrook, and we're going to challenge ourselves. I mean, let's be honest, you can get in the playoffs in San Diego section with three wins. I mean, Grossmont got in with three wins last year.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on them. They played some pretty good people and had some of those issues, and they get in and they knock off Madison in the first round. And so really for me, everything's about learning about my kids and my team. And so I want to challenge us, quite frankly, I mean, I want to play Saints. I want to play Cathedral. I want to be in those big games, get back to, like I said, we're the first California school, public school, to go play a public school in Texas. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing that now, but people don't realize that some of the stuff that we've done over the years, and that's where I want to be. I want to be, when you talk about San Diego football, I want you to talk about the Marauder football program. And we have some great programs, but that's my focus. I want to play for the big trophy. Obviously, we got to work our way back to that, and so that's what the schedule reflects. And it's not a knock of the teams that we dropped off the schedule, but we want to get that look. Grossmont does a great job with their offense and a no huddle tempo, and coach over there, Carlos, done a great job of kind of building those guys up to a top end of the Division I bracket, and they go out and compete against people every week, and of course we're going to get that shot at Steel Canyon, who's my dark horse pick this year. I mean, if Lincoln is absolutely the most talented team in the county, I think Steel Canyon's right there behind them. And of course, they return a bunch of those big men, and they did a great job last year. And of course, the San Marcos team, they've done it. Coach Texter did a great job of building those guys up to an open program. Question is, what will be the transition now that the staff has changed? So, we're excited about all that. And I think what it does with the kids is, I don't have to talk about getting ready for games. Like, if you don't come to practice every week and you don't do the little things we're talking about in terms of preparation, these guys are going to embarrass you. And that's really the foundation for me. Like, if I got to hype you up to play a football game, I mean, you're playing the wrong sport.
Absolutely.
So that's really, we put that schedule up there. And for us, it's, listen, we're only talking about Grossmont. That's the only thing that matters right now is, we always talk about, so far this week, we got two down, one to go. Today's day three of game week of week one. So focus completely on Grossmont, and we'll go out there. We'll look in the mirror. We'll see how we measure up, and then we'll keep building week after week after week to get us ready to play at the end of the season. And for us, it could be a lot of things. I mean, we could be 3-7, or we could be, 10-0. We'll see.
Let's talk about Grossmont. The last thing I leave you with here. Watching film, breaking them down, getting ready for the game on Friday night. Who were some of the players you noticed on Grossmont's tape, or some things that Grossmont does very well that you're going to have to be prepared for on Friday night?
Well, obviously the big guy is their quarterback, 3-year starter, Odom. When I was at Helix, he was a sophomore. I was very impressed with him. Again, he does some really good things. Again, he's a veteran in the offense. they want to run their RPOs and run their screen game. I mean, they want to be the high school version of Oregon. And so we got to be ready to handle that tempo. And he's going to make some plays, and they got some kids out there. Over the last couple of years, do a really good job with what they're doing. Again, defensively, they kind of base out of that 4-3, but they're going to get up there. They're going to challenge you. Their backers are going to move around. So, again, we'll see how we handle all that. We were doing the best that we could do, just getting the look. And I think, as everybody at the beginning of the year, the defenses are a little bit ahead of the offenses, and it's always fun to watch as that changes throughout the course of the season when you start getting all your stuff established and repped up and understood what you're trying to get done.
Coach Chris Thompson of Mira Mesa joining us today on 97 Through the Fan, breaking down the Eastern League, of course. Coach Thompson, it's going to be fun to watch you guys go through your schedule. You got a lot of big games. I know Mira Mesa is definitely on the right track with you at the helm. Okay, thanks again for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you later in the season.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for everything you guys do for San Diego High School football.
We continue our coverage of the Eastern League as we preview the Eastern League and the City Conference here on 97 Through the Fan, the podcast, the high school football podcast, breaking down all the high school football leagues in San Diego before we kick off on August 23rd. I'm Braden Suprenant, of course. We are joined now by Ryan Price, the head coach of University City. Coach Price, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Good. We're excited for the high school football season. I'm sure you are as well, getting your boys ready for game one against Valhalla. How's camp going for University City, and how are your guys looking so far?
Camp's going good. Obviously, we're excited about having Gunner back as our quarterback for his third year as the starter, returning starter. We got a lot of young guys filling holes at the skill position, so it's been good to see them grow throughout the summer and through camp. So I think we're ready to go on Friday.
Are you ready to go on Friday? I know your coaches are going to be getting your guys prepared as well. You got a pretty good coaching staff over there. Talk to us a little bit about who you got on the staff and what they bring to the table.
Yeah, our offensive coordinator is Tate Forcier. Obviously, he's from San Diego. He played at Michigan. Everyone in San Diego knows his background. I also have a great defensive staff that have been with me for a while, and also some new coaches. I have a new D-line coach that played at Delaware, and he's a great addition, a young, hungry coach. His name is Derek Salisbury, so we're excited about him. I'm lucky to have, my core that's been in place for the past 5 years still with me, which keeps this thing moving as smooth as it has been for the last couple of years. So really blessed to have the staff that I have.
You guys have, turned University City, the football program, around pretty well over your 5 years, of course. And last year, 5-7 record, probably not a record you wanted in the grand scheme of things. Coming into this year, what do you guys have to do as a staff, and what do your players have to do in order to make it, a very successful season for you guys?
Yeah, last year, I think, we were senior heavy, and it was our first year playing up in the Eastern League and in D3, as a result of going 10-2 and winning the City League the year before. So it was a good learning experience for the kids to get to, play at that level and have to get that experience at the varsity level, and got some young guys experience, which was important. We were in a couple really close games last year. We lost to Mira Mesa on a last-second field goal. We lost to Christian by one in the quarterfinals in the playoffs. So we were in some really close games. We don't hang our hat on moral victories, but the lessons learned from those games were huge for us in terms of really being able to finish and do the little things right all the time, and making an effort to constantly finish, because we were just that close from winning a couple big games last year. And so if we can just do that little bit extra, we should be able to pull a couple of those out.
You got Gunner Gray at quarterback. You mentioned him just a little bit ago. But how much of an advantage is it, and how great is it to have a quarterback that has started on varsity for so many years coming back?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he's the San Diego section passing leader last year, and he's got, he's really comfortable in our scheme. Coach Tate does a good job with him. And so, the cool thing for him is that he's kind of almost like a coach now. He knows the offensive scheme really well. And so he's kind of pushing the rest of the guys, because he had a group of receivers above him a year or two ahead of him while he was growing. And now he's got to be the guy to carry everyone else. So it's been kind of cool to see him transform as a leader coming into his senior year and really start pushing everyone around him.
You got a lot of guys coming back. Or you got, you know, you talking about your boys earlier. Let's talk about who you're playing this week. You're at Valhalla. You know, that's a team that you know, on paper does not look very good record wise from a year ago. But I know they got some players, especially from the running back position. But what has stood out to you on film that Valhalla does very well that you're going to have to worry about on Friday night?
They're got Keegan Baker. He's a stud. I think he plays on both sides of the ball for them. He's really their big playmaker. They also have a really solid nose tackle. He's short and strong, and he's able to disrupt the middle of the formation. So those two guys seem to be like their two big focal points on both sides of the ball. They spread it around on offense. They run a variant of a 3-4 defense, which is, you know, a little bit different for spread teams. So it'll be a good challenge for us at week one to get it going.
Let's talk about you know, the rest of your schedule. You got Bishops at Mission Bay, Modern Day at Kearney, which will be on 97.3 The Fan broadcast game of the week, of course. Then you got a bye. Then you get into you know, league and the cross league game for you guys. Talking about this Eastern League, you got a team like Christian. You got Mira Mesa. You know, Morse won a CIF championship a year ago. La Jolla is returning 14 of their 22 guys, and a nice little rivalry for you as well. What does the Eastern League bring as a challenge, and how excited are you to you know, compete for league later on the season? I know I don't want you looking too far in advance, but, you know, just how's the league looking?
Yeah, I mean, league's solid. I mean, there's no weak games. Every week is a challenge, a different challenge, and a different scheme that you have to go up against, and a different thing you have to plan and prepare for. You can't afford to get guys hurt. You can't afford to have guys sit out. So, I mean, you got to bring your best every single week in the Eastern League to compete, and it's a tough league to compete in. It's where we ultimately want to be, and where we want to be competing, and where we need to grow to be successful at. So we're happy about that. But yeah, every week is a test for sure.
Ryan Price, the head coach of University City, joining me today, Braden Sprennett, on the Eastern League podcast. Coach Price, thanks again for the time. We look forward to seeing you guys week five against Kearney. That will be our game of the week on 97.3 The Fan. You can listen to that on our radio.com app, of course. I'm sure we'll be in contact. We look forward to talking to you later in the year, and good luck with the rest of the way.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Rolling through the podcast here on 97.3 The Fan. High school football podcast. We're doing previews of each and every league that we can talk about, of course. We're back to doing more City League teams. We got the Eastern League in the City Conference. I'm joined again by Top Dog, Chris Smith, known famously on social media all over the place, a great influencer, if you will, in the San Diego high school football community with the KUSI. He's doing some great things over there. I love the Madden thing. I'm gonna mention it every time we talk on the show, the Madden video night. Thanks again for inviting me out to that. And Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for coming out the other night. It was a pleasure to see you along with 117 of San Diego's best athletes.
Yeah, just counting over there. Yeah, you knew. You were going to throw out that number coming into it. A little shameless plug for Top Dog and Top Dog's Elite over there.
No doubt.
Let's get to it. The Eastern League, Christian, Mira Mesa, La Jolla, Morse, UC. Biggest name that jumps out to you, league champion, you know, before we dive way too into it, just on paper, who you think the league champion is coming in when you just hear those five names?
Mira Mesa High School.
Mira Mesa. I agree with you, again. But I got a three-way tie for first place.
Ooh, interesting. Who's your other two teams?
Morse and Christian.
Really?
I think all three of those teams go 3-1, and they all beat each other once.
Hmm.
But we'll get into that.
What about La Jolla and UC?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't see it. But we'll get into it. I'll explain it later. Let's start with Christian. They only returned four of their 22 guys from last year. 7.8 rating. They come in 10-2 record. JV goes 9-1. They beat Mira Mesa, Morse, Santa Fe Christian, were their top three wins according to CalPreps ratings. Their two losses were to Morse and Cathedral Catholic, a game that was shortened by lightning in that game. I look at Christian. They kind of do a poor job, I think, in scheduling. I just think in terms of where they are at as a program, I just don't think their scheduling's up to par. But they beat the teams that they need to beat, and they go run runs in playoffs. So it doesn't really matter if you're Christian High. They do play a lot of teams, though, that we don't know about. They play De Anza. They play Soldanta this year, and they play Fernley. So, I mean, I could sit here and say it's a bad schedule, but in reality, if you look it up, I mean, it could be a phenomenal schedule. I mean, they could be playing three of the top teams ever. We don't know. I mean, it's always weird when you go to scheduling and you play teams out of town. You got, you know, Helix plays Harriman, Utah. Cathedral plays Saguaro. You're like, All right.
Yeah, who's that?
Who is that exactly?
Like, well, and the average fan's like,
it's not Bishop
it's not,
Gorman.
Who is that?
So
it's where is
yeah,
that?
Where is that exactly? Well, they're in Arizona. Well, they don't play good football out there because we're the best out here in California, right? That's just kind of the mindset we have a handful of times. But first game against Santa Fe Christian, not a bad matchup for them. Again, De Anza, Soldanta at Monta Vista, I think is an intriguing matchup. But I still think Christian's better than Monta Vista. They got Central this year, and they get in a league play. They're a team to me that's going to go 9-1. And I think their one loss is to Morse. They lost to Morse
I'm
last year.
I'm going to have to disagree with that. I think that they lost a lot in senior leadership. I think there's question marks at quarterback. I think they lost a lot. It's going to be hard to replace the players they had.
They lose a lot of times, though, and they do replenish pretty well.
Yeah, and they probably, you know, I'm going to go 5-5.
Who are their losses if you go through that schedule? According to, again, I picked the games that I don't know about, the teams I don't know about, I picked based on their CalPreps ratings, and their CalPreps ratings are way lower than Christian's. So those should be wins.
So what you're saying is you think those teams are cupcakes.
No, I said CalPreps thinks those teams are cupcakes. I have no idea what those teams are like. I've never seen them play. But according
to
rating
systems,
I
just looking at their roster, looking at where they are currently with the program, I just think they're going to be 5-5.
5-5.
Yeah, I don't see them going 9-1 around the table. So, I mean, even in league, I don't see them beating Mira Mesa. I think it's going to be a closer game against La Jolla. And I think that, you know, if they stumble, they could lose the UC. So, I don't think it's a runaway for Christian for me.
Let's go on to Mira Mesa. I do think they're going to win the league. I do have a three-way tie for first, but I think Mira Mesa wins the tiebreaker. I don't know what the tiebreakers are, but you know, in my hypothetical world of me picking games for every single high school team this season, I got Mira Mesa winning the Eastern League. That's actually kind of a daunting task if you think about it. I don't know why I put that on myself, but I did. And nonetheless, Mira Mesa, I got them going 7-3 after going 10-3 last year, a CIF finalist last year. They lost to Lincoln in the championship. They did beat Madison last year. Madison had a lot of guys last year that were good enough to beat a team like Mira Mesa. They had that great win against Saints last year. Very up and down Madison team, but a Madison team that should have beat Mira Mesa. That was a really good win, I think, for Mira Mesa last year. They beat Valley Center. They beat Poway. Lost to Christian Steel, Canyon, and Lincoln. Mira Mesa is a team that's not really afraid to play people. They schedule usually pretty tough. They play at Grossmont week one. I think that's a good game for them. They play at San Marcos week two. Probably when they scheduled that game, Texler is probably still at San Marcos. I still think that's going to be a good team up there at San Marcos anyway. It might take a little bit, but that's still, I think, a good matchup for them. Mount Carmel is kind of a rivalry game. In a sense, and so is Scripps Ranch. So it's not like they went out of their way to schedule those games. At Steel Canyon, I think, is a great game for them. And then they play league, and then they finish up with a cross league at Madison, which is, I think, another good game for Mira Mesa. I think they go 7-3.
I'll say this. If they can beat San Marcos early in the season, I wouldn't be surprised this team runs the table.
You think they beat Steel Canyon?
That's the only team I see on their schedule that's going to be a tougher game than San Marcos. If they can beat San Marcos, and
you're thinking 8-2, 9-1.
Yep,
10
they could
and
be 8-2 to 10-0. Yeah, 8-2 to 10-0. They could be right there. And I think they're going to go deep in the playoffs because I don't think there's a lot of teams left in D2.
No, absolutely not.
So they wouldn't surprise me if they go back to back and get back to a D2 championship.
Well, one of
again.
The top teams that they'd have to face in D2 is Christian, and if they already handle them in the regular season, they should be able to handle them in the playoffs. So,
but you know the old saying, it's hard to beat the same team twice.
Coach Doyle used to tell us that sometimes you beat them the first time, you should be able to beat them the second time, and yeah, more than half the time we did. But again, usually the teams we played twice were not at the same caliber as the team we were.
Fair enough.
All right, but I agree with you. I think Mira Mesa has a really good year. Their middle linebacker, you definitely have to put his name on this podcast because he is a stud.
Fave Leomiti. He's probably one of the most underrated linebackers in entire San Diego County. It wouldn't surprise me if this kid finishes in the regular season with about maybe 10, 15 D1 offers. This kid is a phenomenal young man. When you look at him on the field, he looks just like Junior Seau.
Is he wear number 55 too?
No, I think he wears 52.
Same thing, 50 number. He's going to be scary down there in the middle of the field. Mira Mesa is going to have – they always have a lot of talent. The one school I have always said that can complain about Cathedral taking their kids is Mira Mesa.
Well, you know, Toppy's whole thing is just keep my kids home.
Exactly. And I think Thompson's going to do a great job of doing that because if you just look at, and my argument there was, look at the best running backs Cathedral's had over the last seven, 8 years.
Incorporated City.
They all came from Mira Mesa. Tyler Gaffney, Mira Mesa. Yep. Their linebackers, Xavier Lutu, Mira Mesa. Chris Maliga, Mira Mesa. Sean Poma, does that name ring a bell? Does Absolutely. That is that guy pretty good?
And where do you play youth football?
Mira Mesa.
Thank you.
Exactly. That's a pipeline. But there is a reason why those kids are leaving that area. And now that Thompson's back, I bet you he hangs on to at least half of those kids now.
I would say more than half, but I would agree.
I said that. At least half. Come on, Chris.
Yeah, more than
that. Give me any credit ever.
No, my bad.
7-3 Mira Mesa, I think, is their basement. I think they can go to 10-0.
9-1, 10-0.
All right, dude. You're very confident in the boys in blue for Mira Mesa, San Diego High, and the last podcast we did. Moving on, La Jolla, 3-7 last year. JV team went 3-6. They beat UC Scripps Ranch. The Scripps Ranch, I'm going to put in quotes. That was the most interesting finish I've ever seen to a game. Have you seen, you remember that from last year?
Oh, with the fumbles, with the pass,
the kneel and all that.
I
don't
know what that was. You know, I thought that was illegal.
It was a poor ruling by the officials.
Wasn't it illegal?
So what happened was is Scripps Ranch is taking a knee, right?
Right.
And
the kid just like charged through, hit the kid, fumbled the ball.
The official said, don't fire out, right? Which doesn't mean anything, but it's kind of like, if you're going to say that, like enforce the rule of if the kid fires out, you just don't give him the... So the kid fires out. The one kid fires out.
Right.
He's playing the whistle. I'm cool with that. That's fine. He knocks the ball out of Dylan Jabez's hands as he's going for a knee and then jumps on it. And then the official that says, don't fire out, goes, oh, it's a fumble. First down, La Jolla. And you're like, look, here's my thing. If you're not... If you're going to say don't fire out and a kid fires out... He shouldn't be rewarded for jumping on the ball.
I agree.
Now, telling the kid, if you're onto the corner, it's like, well, they could play to the final whistle. I'm cool with that too. Don't tell the kids to not fire out then. Just let them play.
Don't give them a heads up. Don't give them a warning. Let
exactly.
Them
play. So it's either one or the other. If you're going to say, don't do this, and then the kid does it, and then you reward him for not doing the thing that you told him not to do, I got a problem with that. Especially when it ended up ultimately impacting the game.
Can I tell you something? You're going to make a great father someday. I like your logic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate saying. It. We agree on something.
As fathers, appreciate it. Okay.
So you're calling me an old man is what you're calling me.
No, I'm just saying. You're going to make a good father someday.
Oh,
that's great logic.
All right, let's move on to Morse before we talk about my personal life. Yeah, mature, exactly. I'm 24 in age, but I'm like really a 65-year-old, essentially, is what you just said to my face.
No, really.
I don't look 65.
Listen, I'm old enough to be your dad, so let's not talk about age, okay?
Yeah, let's move on. This is getting a little weird here. 9-5 Morse. They went 9-5 last year, 9.6 rating coming into the season. You know, they lost Jamar Martin. They got lost some guys going to some big-time schools there. They did a really good job over there, you know, by Tracy McNair. I think he won Coach of the Year last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. He did.
And I voted for that, actually. I voted for him to win Coach of the Year. I think he did a tremendous job last year getting Morse to a CIF title.
I'll tell you what.
Who's coming back? I got to ask you who's coming back from Morse because I have 7-3 right now, but you had me a little nervous there because you say they're not got a lot of kids coming back.
They're losing a lot. I mean, first of all, if you understand how Tracy builds this program and how he builds that offense, he's just got to have athletic players, and he's got to have a decent offensive line. He's got two guys that are pretty good on the offensive line, in my opinion, that are above-average offensive linemen. The problem is they don't have a lot of depth, and they don't have that explosive. They don't have a Shamar Martin. They don't have a Martell Irby. The one guy they got is a safety that looks like he should be playing at SC right now, and he's very, very athletic, but he doesn't have that speed they need. So if you look at Tracy's offense, between the speed and the power that traditionally they've had over the last 4 or 5 years that has been consistently there, without having a quarterback, because let's face it, Morris hasn't had a quarterback in a while.
Have you seen the offense they run?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just we're gonna grab it, we're gonna run.
Yeah,
and so it's successful for them because it's tough to stop sometimes. But
I don't think they've got the guys to continue to match up against some of the teams they play. So I think that they take a step back as a program.
They got a tough cross league game.
They do.
And they got to play Vista.
Yep.
And you know Desmond Tua led Vista team's gonna be pretty good up there. They open up with Henry. I think they win that game. Kearney might be tough. Hilltop, what do you think? Drew Wessling and the Hilltop Lancers down Morris this year?
No. Morris has got Drew's number.
At Chula Vista.
Now, that could be an interesting game. I think Chula's got some guys that they're big, they're fast, they're physical. Chula could beat them.
At La Jolla.
Listen, La Jolla's going to have it tough, man. They've got a gauntlet for 5 straight weeks. That's the one program in all of San Diego County I actually feel bad for.
Well, what stretch? You talking Mira Mesa, Morse, Lincoln, University City, and Christian?
Good Lord. I mean, how do you, if I'm Tyler, how does that happen on my schedule? I mean,
like,
even as Crossley
but
is Lincoln.
Yeah, that, exactly.
Listen, there are no cupcakes in that run.
No.
And listen, if you get through that healthy, you're going to get in the playoffs just because of strength of schedule, guaranteed. But are you going to be healthy? Are you going to have any guys left?
No way. How much easier is the gauntlet of Lincoln and Point Loma switch in that spot? Is it easier or no? This cross league kind of
absolutely.
The cross league kind of stinks.
I think absolutely.
Here's my thing on the cross league. If you're going to have the leagues be based on how good you've been the last couple years, like kind of power rating system, like it is right now, why do you need a cross league game?
You don't.
No. When it was Easter,
by the way,
like
this
when I was
cross league thing, I'm not a big fan of at all.
I'm not a fan of it because it's not like before.
You've got 5 weeks to schedule whoever you want to play, and then you got league play. So if you want one of these cross league things, do them in the non-league.
And if you only have four league games, you have six non-league games.
Thank you.
I'm cool with that.
I'm good with that as well.
Because when
good
I was
thing we don't make the rules though, huh?
I know. When I was playing, the cross league kind of made sense because we were in a different league than Matt. We had it was Cathedral, Saints, Mira Mesa, Scripps,
Point Loma,
Lincoln, and Henry.
Oh, I do remember that, yep.
Point Loma was in the...
You played against your bro Clues and those guys.
Yeah. So Point Loma was in the Western League. Madison was in the Western League. It was kind of almost balanced where it's like, all right, you could take the top two teams and play each other. It'd be a good matchup, the two, the three, the four. When you do it here, it's like there's one team, there's one good potential game. It's the five from the Western League and the one from the Eastern League.
Well, do you remember last year when Torrey Pines had to play San Pasquale?
They play him again this year.
That's horrifying. Why would you do that to poor San Pasquale?
At least in the North County, if both schools agree, they can opt out of it.
Really? They can't do it in the city conference?
No.
Maybe I had to call Scott Juicy.
Although Christian and Cathedral did mutually part ways this year for the Cross League game.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that was a huge fiasco. Cathedral's going to play Otay Ranch now instead. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Morse, and now we're moving on to University City.
Okay.
Dude, me and you digress way too much. I got to get to softball in the next, 30 minutes. I still got to change. I'm going like this.
Softball.
Yeah, dude. I got to get out every once in a while. And mine is go play some softball.
All right.
That's my you know, I'm an athlete. I didn't get to play in a long time.
I'm not judging. Okay.
Yeah, you're judging, dude.
Not really.
The people don't see your face right now.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, next time we got to video cast this as well.
I'm good with that.
But just on your face. Oh, your Top Dog Elite pretty, sponsored by Domino's.
Shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope I don't get in trouble for just naming that right there. But I'm just reading
it's just
your
a
shirt.
You're just reading my shirt. You're not sponsoring it.
So. I'm not. We're going to move on before people pay attention to this part.
I don't want to.
University
FCC
City,
violation.
5-7 last year. Kind of a down year for University City over the last couple years that they've had because when I was playing, again, I graduated in 13. Okay, so it's not that far off. They were not very good. And then they started getting better. They're getting good quarterback play. Last year, they kind of go a little bit south. They go 5-7. JV record was not reported. No other returning starters. 3.1 2019 rating entering the season. Wins over LCAP, Mar Vista, Valhalla last year. They lost to La Jolla, Mar Vista, or Monta Vista, and Point Loma. What do you see out of University City? I'm looking at a 500 ball club, in my opinion.
I'm going to say sub 500. Now that the rumors
ceiling 500?
No.
Not even ceiling 500.
They're going to be sub 500. I mean, the covers are pretty empty over there. I mean, now that the rumors of Gunnar Gray going to Helix are done and over and he's actually staying at UC.
He's actually wearing
the city. You know, the dub city. I'll be honest, I got two guys over there that stand out to me. You got Gunnar Gray and Zay Pena. And it's just...
That's it.
It's going to be tough, man. Those numbers and the athletes they had. I mean, listen, they lost Casey Granfors, Journey Smith. They lost a lot of dudes that were, you know, contributors on that ball club. It is extremely hard to replace guys that were contributors year after year after year. You know, this isn't like the NFL where you just go out and get a bunch of free agents. I mean, you got to develop
Wouldn't that be nice?
Hey, I don't know. It depends on who you ask. Some of these guys are thinking this is free agency.
Don't name names.
I didn't say any names. I'm just saying.
I did think that was funny, though, at a coach's clinic one time. It was a coach's clinic where like the special teams and it was an NFL coach and he's like, well, I got this guy doing this, this guy doing this, this guy doing this. And one of the coaches was like, what happens if you don't have a guy that can do that? And then his answer was like, well, we just go get a guy. And they're like, we don't have that.
Yeah. We don't have those resources.
Yeah. I can't just like go find some kid on the street and be like, hey, you're going to play this now. It doesn't work the same.
That's funny.
What am I going to sign him to a contract and just get him to go to that school? I think
there's some schools in the Trinity League that no comment.
They have a media day, okay?
Have a media day in high school?
There's like three of them up there. The Trinity League does one. The one with the Bishop Amat does one, and some other league does one up there.
San Diego, please don't do that.
Well, if
any
we had
school
a, if
does
we,
that,
right,
please don't do that.
Real quick, as we digress, and this is going to be our last podcast of the day. If there was a media day down here in San Diego, what media members are showing up?
You know I'm going to be there.
I came up with me, you, John Maffey, Adam Paul, and Coach John Quintero, I think would be the five guys over there.
I think Brandon Stone would show up.
You think Montel will show up?
Nah.
What about anybody else at the PPR?
Ruben might show up. Ruben might show up. From SDFNL, he might show up.
They'll show up.
Let's see. You know who I want to see there? Who I'm dying to see there? Dago football.
Yes.
Come on. You and I both know it.
Yes.
It's finally time you come out from behind the Twitter handle and show your face.
I'm going to have to post this on the when we tweet it out. Who is Dago football? Chris and Rain discuss. That might be the headliner. I might make it into an audiogram, as a matter of fact.
He needs to show up.
What team?
Because you know,
you can invite five teams this year to a media day. What teams are you inviting? It doesn't matter what league.
What teams? I'm inviting Lincoln.
Yep.
Because they're just entertaining. Let's just say that. I mean, you saw that at the Madden event. They're very entertaining.
They're very entertaining.
I'm going to take Cathedral.
Okay.
I think they got a lot of dudes that I really
That's going to be the most boring interviews ever.
Not really. Some of those guys say some. Jordan Allen's a good interview.
They wouldn't let Jordan Allen go on the mic.
Why?
Because Jordan Allen.
He said, you know, you got to tune in. He's going to be the first guest on week one, and you got to turn in to see what the funny question Rudy asked him.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait
By the way,
I love Jordan Allen. I can't wait
from his mother.
I'm going to give him so much crap regardless of what his answer is, just because it's fun to do.
Well, when you see the question and it comes from Paul Rudy and know that it came from Lynn, his mother.
What is his reaction going to be, you think?
He's going to be like mortified. Absolutely mortified.
Wait. All right, so you got Cathedral, Lincoln. What else you got?
St. Augustine right now. I think they are
Our first guest on the high school show tonight.
And then I want to say, I'm going to go with my alma mater. I'm going to bring my Crawford boys in-house just because it's a different look. It's a different feel. These kids experience football a little different than some of these other powerhouse schools.
Well, on the podcast, we were talking to Matt Marquez on the Central League podcast, yep. And he couldn't wait for school to get started because all these kids were having jobs and doing all sorts of other stuff.
My sleeper school, number five, might even shock you. I'll bring in the Montgomery Aztecs. I got a chance to spend some time with them this offseason, and they've got a lot of personality as a team, and they're very close.
You know why I'm not bringing in the Montgomery Aztecs?
Why?
I'm mad at them.
Uh-oh. What's the story?
They changed their helmets. They used to have the sweetest helmets in all of high school football in San Diego. They had the kind of like the Florida State arrows
across the Apache, the arrows.
Yeah, it's sweet with the tomahawks as their pride stickers.
Yeah.
Now they just went to the simple Aztec on the side.
Dude, that Aztec is classic. How are you going to hate on
San Diego
Monty?
State's Aztec.
How are you going to hate on Monty? That's un-San Diegan, man.
No, because the arrow look was best.
No.
Best helmet, though, is Granite Hills. Granite Hills has the best helmet. I know you like making a lot of helmets, but we digress. University City, I think they're a 500 ball club. You think a little bit less. As we recap, Mira Mesa, I think, is going to win the league just like you
do.
Even though I picked a three-way tie with Morrison Christian. You might have enlightened me a little bit more on those two schools, but I still think Mira Mesa is the top dog. I got Morse coming in second. Who do you have coming in second? I know it's not going to be Morse.
Christian.
Okay, who do you have in third?
La Jolla.
I have Christian. I have La Jolla coming in last, to be honest with you.
No, I don't know. I mean, I like Jackson Stratton, the quarterback over there. They're running this whole dual quarterback thing, and they've got one of the best athletes in San Diego that I've seen. I got to give the kid some love. That's Jack Weiss. The kid's a phenomenal athlete.
All right, so you got La Jolla third. I got University City 4.
Yeah, I could sit with
that. Well, that's the only other. Who do you got coming in last then?
No, I think UC would come in last, actually, 5.
All right, so you got Morse at 4?
Yeah, Morse at 4.
All right, so I have Mira Mesa, Morse Christian, University City, La Jolla. You have Mira Mesa,
Christian,
La Jolla, Morse, University City.
Correct.
All right.
We're close.
We're getting good there. Hopefully, we'll be there for the Western League podcast coming up for you guys. It'll be on the last day, August 22nd. We'll be releasing the Western League podcast as well as the Avocado League podcast. You got to stay tuned for those previews as well. I'm Braden Soprano. He is Top Dog. Thanks again, Top Dog, for joining me today. We'll have to get together one more time for the Western League podcast.
Thanks for having me, Braden. I appreciate it.
It's going to be a fun season. Be sure to check out all of our previews on 97throughthefansd.com. Be sure to check out our Twitter page, 97throughthefan, on Instagram at 97throughthefan as well. And keep it right here on 97throughthefan for our high school show each and every Thursday night. Myself, Coach John Quintero from 9 to 11. And, of course, we're going to broadcast Friday Night Lights every Friday. High school football, the games of the week, we're going to have right here on the air, 97.3. The Fan, we're going to start with Granite Hills going to Poway. There'll be a week one matchup on August 23rd. Yeah, Chris nodded his head. Not a bad matchup right there to start the season off. Got to start off slow and then kind of work your way up. It's going to be a fun year of high school football right here on The Fan, so keep it right here on The Fan on 97.3 The Fan.